Hello, it's Emma and Dean.
So I thought, why not? Let's just pop to Hollywood for the weekend, shall we?
Oh, that's very kind of you, darling. Oh. I'm feeling very, very Hollywood, if I don't mind me
saying. We're in the car on the last stop of our four-day road trip around South California, and Emma, in the distance, in the hills, is a massive eight-letter word.
Okay. Does it begin with H and end in wood?
It does.
It's Hollywood!
Is that eight letters? Oh, it's nine letters. Sorry, it's nine letters.
I've been told by your producer that you can't count.
Sorry, producer. We're in the car. It's gridlock, but we don't mind because we're on our way down to West Hollywood and the massive sign is on the right-hand side of the car. I am so excited for West Hollywood.
I'm so excited. The sky is blue. The Hollywood sign is in the sky, sort of. And I feel like this is the opening sequence to La La Land, isn't it?
It is.
We're just stuck in traffic on a highway.
It is. It is. Maybe we should play that and dance on the roof in a minute if we
totally
don't get going.
Should. And it is going to be another beautiful day, isn't it?
Hey, listen, we've got a great show for you today. It is going to be a massive highlight, I think, because, I mean, who doesn't love Los Angeles? Let's be honest. I'm sure lots of our listeners have been there and there's lots and lots to get involved with on the gay scene there in West Hollywood too.
Is there?
There's loads.
I've got a feeling a drag queen's going to be on the itinerary again.
There might be drag queens, there might be bars, there might be food, there might be, oh, a whole load of partying, I would imagine.
I did read something about bikes as well, so we might actually be doing something healthy.
Oh, yes, we're going to be doing, well, hikes, Emma, are very, very popular in Hollywood. Runyon Canyon is a great spot for celeb spotting.
Well, I mean, if you're going to be a celebrity and in Hollywood, you've got to be thin, haven't you?
Yes.
Fit.
Well, we've got new haircuts from Palm Springs, and I think that we should show them out and about in West Hollywood.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We are in West Hollywood.
We definitely are. There are palm trees, there are beautiful people, and we haven't got a clue what's in store for us today. So I thought we'd catch up with the Chief Marketing Officer for West Hollywood, Jeff Morris. Jeff.
Hello.
What a vibe.
Thank you for coming. Yes, we love everyone to see our vibe.
Oh, we'll come on to that, hopefully. So a lot of people will have heard of Hollywood. What is West Hollywood specifically, and why are we here?
Very good. West Hollywood, we like to say, is the heart of Los Angeles. So technically, we are right in the middle of L.A. So when you come here, you're in the most central part that you can possibly be in when you come to Los Angeles. So we like to say it's 30 minutes to the beach, it's 30 minutes downtown. If you want to go to Universal Studios Hollywood, 30 minutes to get up there. So it's really convenient. Not only that, once you're here, it's very walkable. We're only 4.9 kilometers, so, and easy to get around, very easy.
And it's its own separate city, right?
Yes, it is. It was incorporated in the mid-80s, actually. It has a really interesting story, West Hollywood does, because we were incorporated by both the LGBT community and Russian immigrants and older residents who really wanted to maintain control of the city. So it's got an interesting history.
Jeff, how has West Hollywood changed over the years? Because many of our listeners may have visited here, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago. Have you seen a difference?
You know, I would say that over the course of time, West Hollywood has maintained its core character, which is that we're all about inclusivity, freedom, love who you want to love, diversity, having fun, being sexy, being cool. What has changed here is that we have amazing restaurants that continue to open up that feature the best of the best. We have some amazing new hotels, from both boutique hotels to really large luxury hotels. So, you know, we've gotten bigger and more luxurious, but we're still really cool and edgy.
Mm. Well, the last time I was here was 1987. I think it's fair to say it's changed a little bit since
yes.
then. But I came with my family to LA, and one of the things we did was we did stay on the Sunset Strip, because that is a big draw as part West Hollywood, isn't it? But that's changed a lot, hasn't it, over the years?
Yeah, Sunset Strip still maintains its character of being historically the great nightclubs like the Whiskey A Go-Go and the Viper Room and the Rainbow Room. So it still has its character of music and rock and roll, but it also has amazing restaurants now, some really great hotels up there, but it's still a lot of fun to walk along the Sunset Strip and just feel the history.
Yeah. So, Jeff, if you're coming here on holiday, give us a recommendation. So how long should we stay here? You know, which part of West Hollywood should we stay? And what sort of three things should we be getting up to if we're here, say, I don't know, for a week?
Oh, gosh, three things? I know,
I know, I know. Your best three things.
I would say, so West Hollywood, even though we're small, we're divided into three districts. We have the Sunset Strip, and we have Santa Monica Boulevard, which is also known as Boys Town, and there's also a section of it that is a little bit more character with the Russian community, and then we have the Design District. So those three things kind of give you the sense of what you should do when you're here. Sunset Strip is all about the nightclubs, the nightlife, the great dining. The Design District is about the most amazing boutique shopping you can ever find. Cool little unique kind of places that you wouldn't find anywhere else. And then Santa Monica Boulevard is all about, you know, the fun bars, the gay bars, the exciting nightlife, the people watching. It's the place to be, really.
Could you bring your kids here?
Absolutely. You know, we see a lot of families here, especially on Santa Monica Boulevard, and because it's so walkable and so easy to get everywhere else in L.A.
Tell you what I have seen a lot of since I've been here already. A lot of dogs.
Yeah, we love dogs. Dog friendly. I'm surprised there's not some in the office today, but yeah, very dog friendly.
Just waiting for a dog to run in at any minute now.
Well, you said it's great for people watching. I think a lot of people will come here because they want the sort of Hollywood dream. They're going to come here expecting to see celebrities walking down the street. Could that happen?
You know, it does happen a lot. It's a lot of fun. And there's also, I think that's a lot of the energy that happens in West Hollywood, because you could run into anyone at any time. So there's this vibe that happens here that people leave here going, gosh, there's something kind of electric about staying in West Hollywood. We're adjacent to Hollywood. And we like to say that Hollywood is where the work gets done. It's where the studios are. It's where people go to work. West Hollywood is where the stars dine and live and stay and go out and experience their lives.
When's the best time of year to come here?
Well, it's beautiful right now. It's beautiful in the summer.
It's not
winter,
too...
fall, and spring.
Yeah.
There's really not a bad time, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because it's not too hot. I can imagine that some people might be thinking to themselves, gosh, I don't know if I could stick that American heat. But actually, it's quite nice today, isn't it, Emma? Because we've just came from Palm Springs where it was 45 degrees. So this is actually quite fresh.
It's really fresh. I might need to put a cardigan on later.
Yes, yes.
No, it's about 26, 27 at the moment, and that's in September.
Yeah. The spring and the fall are lovely here. I mean, summer is always great because Southern California summer. But, you know, I'm partial to the fall here because it's when it's not quite so crowded. The weather is still beautiful.
And it's Halloween, and you Americans love Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween in West Hollywood is something to experience for sure in your life. It is an amazing time. It's what we're known for here. And if you just Google it online, you'll see the kind of experience that you have here in West Hollywood on Halloween.
Exciting. I kind of wish that we came here on Halloween, don't you? We could have dressed
come
up
back.
As... Should we come back?
I think we'll definitely come back. I think come back for Halloween and then maybe come back next year for Pride as well.
Oh, that sounds good.
That'll be big, won't it?
That does sound good. Well, we're going all over the place. We're doing tours and I think there might be a lot of drinking ahead, Emma.
If you want to find out more about this destination, visit westhollywood.com. Should be your first stop shop to find out more info.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yes, thank you so much. Have fun.
We made it to the end of our road trip. We're at our final destination. I'm so excited to be here. We're in West Hollywood. Not just anywhere in West Hollywood. We're on the Strip.
We are indeed. We're staying at the Grafton on Sunset. We're quite lucky to be staying here, you know, because it's not normal to have a pool this size and so many rooms so close to the Strip, Emma. The last time I was here, you know, we stayed in an Airbnb because it was quite hard to find a great hotel like this. I wish I'd found it before. It's a beautiful hotel. It is exactly what you'd expect in West Hollywood. The rooms are divine, and you get a real sense of the sort of laid back glamour of West Hollywood.
Lots of mirrors, but also quite glamorous. And we're just in front of the pool now. There's loads of inflatable balls in the pool and some glamorous people lying around the poolside. And weirdly, but there's a lovely blue sky above us, and weirdly, there's a massive, massive billboard of David Guetta right before us.
Yes, David Guetta is looking over us. I hope he looks after us for the next couple of days, because I think we might need it.
It's like David Guetta is God.
Yes, stay tuned in this show, though, because we're going to be hiking up Runyon Canyon. I can imagine there will be a few cocktails sipped, Emma, whilst we're here.
Oh, I blooming well hope so. We'll be out in Boys Town. We'll be going to some of the iconic LGBT bars that this city's got to offer. We're on Santa Monica Boulevard. I'm looking up at a gorgeous blue sky and two rainbow flags in the middle of the road. And we are at Kitchen 24.
Yes.
Which I imagine if you had had a heavy night, would be a good place to stock up on some carbs and quality food.
Yes, the last time I was here, actually, I did exactly that. And instead of having some healthy food, we just got right back on it again. And I drank four Peronis one after another.
Fair enough. I don't think we'll do that right now. But anyway, let's speak to the owner of Kitchen 24, David Dickerson. David, I think your story is probably parallel to a lot of people's in this city. You actually came here not to open a restaurant, but to work in the film industry, right?
That's right. I had dreams. I had big dreams. No, I came here to work in the movie industry because I studied television and film in college and university. But when I got out here, I didn't really love the industry. I still love film and television, but I just didn't love the way that the business worked. And so then that kind of spawned the idea of me having my own movie theater. Which I opened a restaurant and bar and nightclub called CineSpace right around 2000, 2001.
And that was quite big for the DJ names that you nurtured as well, wasn't it, apparently?
We were lucky to have some DJs in the early parts of their career. And some say that we launched, like, DJ AM and Steve Aoki. He had a night with us for many, many years.
Wow.
His Monday night was famous, his famous sort of hosted night.
Yeah, and then how did this space come up? Describe to us where exactly we are and what it looks like.
Well, we're in West Hollywood right now, but our first Kitchen 24 was actually in Hollywood, right in the middle of sort of the core of Hollywood and right around the corner from CineSpace, because that was convenient for me. And you know, the decor, everybody always says, oh, it's pink and brown, but it's actually not. It's actually chocolate, vanilla, and strawberries. So, the whole time when I was meeting with the designers and architects and everything else, they kept saying pink. And I go, it's not pink. It's strawberry. And they'd be like, you know, pink and brown. I'm like, no, it's chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. And so a Neapolitan motif. And that was just intended to sort of make it playful, right? The whole idea is we try and do everything fresh and scratch in-house, you know, all of our food, but we still want it to be playful. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We certainly are a place where people come to recover from their night off. We're open 24 hours, so people come here in the middle of their night, after their night, before their night, and everything else.
Fantastic. And you said you opened in West Hollywood because you wanted somewhere with a sense of community. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, well, when we opened in Hollywood, we knew that Hollywood was sort of like a changing neighborhood and more people were starting to live there. And it became really, really... It became pretty obvious to me that I love that part of it. I love the part of, like, I got to see my neighbors, like, every morning for coffee or breakfast. I got to see people more than once a week. Like, a lot of restaurants, you might see somebody once a month because they're celebrating a birthday or they're celebrating something. But for us, it's about being your local neighborhood spot. And so now I see people for happy hour, and then I see them later the next day for breakfast, or I see them for dinner. I see them multiple times in a week.
So what I love about this place, actually, I've traveled a lot by myself, and I can imagine that this is the kind of place you come as a solo traveler to meet new people. If it's open 24 hours a day, you must get some very interesting characters, right?
We definitely get very interesting characters. My favorite time of year here is Halloween. And it's just because this city does it up so well for Halloween. I think it should be made the Los Angeles national holiday should be Halloween. And a lot of that's because the entertainment industry. But just there's so many creative people here. So people's costumes, and you should look through the photos and Instagrams from all the past Halloweens. But the amount of amazing costumes. And the parade travels right in front of Kitchen 24. And so we get to see the passersby and everybody in the most outrageous, amazing costumes you've ever seen.
You should always come to America at Halloween. It's the best place to be.
Absolutely,
and I imagine
it
kicks off in West Hollywood.
It's my favorite holiday.
Tell us what it's like here at Pride. You must do something special.
It's, again, Pride and Halloween are the two best times because of the parade and just the amount of, like, celebration. It's just a really great, great time to be here. It's just so much fun. Other than having to deal with the traffic, you have to walk to get here because all the streets are closed down. But other than that, it's just the most amazing time. And our staff gets excited about the whole week because it's not just the day of Pride. It's about the whole week. And there's so many different little celebrations of different aspects of Pride that happen. And it's like a whole week of celebrating. So.
Right, so Emma and I on this trip have ate like queens, haven't we, Emma?
Oh my goodness me. We're going home stone heavier, but
yes,
a lot
definitely.
Happier.
We've got to loosen our belts a little bit. let's so we've gone so far the other way of just eating whatever we want. Let's just, you know, keep going, shall we? What would you recommend off this menu then? Because it seems to me like you have something for everybody on it.
We do, and I eat here like 5 days a week, a couple of meals a day. So I always kind of move around. But a classic burger or classic breakfast, you know, bacon eggs is a great breakfast here. Mm. But classic burger. Our salads are amazing. You know, we have a fried chicken stack, which is, you know, a waffle, a gravy, and fried chicken on it, which is delicious. There's a whole bunch of dishes. It's a really big menu, so it's hard for me to recommend one thing. Our KC4 cheesesteak is great.
I'm looking at it now. It's mammoth, isn't it, really?
It's two sides. That's only the one side. Oh. The breakfast is on the other side.
Right, okay.
And so, yeah, there's a lot more to it than that. And we have vegetarian options as well, so there's pretty much something for everybody. That's why it's so big, is we're trying to be utilitarian. We want you to come here with your mother, your grandmother, whomever, and there's something for everybody.
Fabulous. Well, if you take a trip to West Hollywood, make sure you fill up at Kitchen 24 on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Stay where you are, because in the next hour, Emma and I are going to be doing the most famous hike in Hollywood.
Emma, it is worth it when you get to the top. Oh my goodness.
This is hard work.
Oh wow. Emma, the 8-letter Hollywood signs there.
Hang on. Oh my god.
Good morning, Los Angeles.
Oh yes. Sorry, I can't really speak or breathe.
Oh my goodness.
Do you know what? It's just 9 in the morning here. I've had 4 hours sleep. I've been out drinking tequila with drag queens. I've had hardly any sleep, and I feel fantastic!
Hey! Oh my goodness.
Wow, that was so worth it. I don't know how far we've come. It's taken us, what, about 20 minutes to walk up this hill?
Yes.
We've walked past Drew Barrymore's house.
And Queen Latifah's
house
as well.
Queen Latifah's house. So I'm not actually sure exactly where we are or how far we've come. Let's speak to our guide, Danny, from Bikes and Hikes. Danny, you got a good job.
Yeah, thank you. I do. I love it.
So where exactly are we?
We are at the top of Runyon Canyon in the heart of West Hollywood, and we are looking out over the entire city right now. So from that end, the west end, you've got Venice Beach and Santa Monica, and sweeping across the city here, we've got Century City, Beverly Hills, and then as you can see, West Hollywood is just below us, and if you can see the entire city, you'll see that West Hollywood is the heart of the city, the center of the city. And as you look over there, you've got the east side of LA and downtown LA.
I love that you can just see through all of the morning fog, this beautiful
smog.
Array of, yes, smog, right?
Fog, smog, we'll take whatever.
You can just see all these stunning buildings just jutting out of nowhere. It looks quite mysterious.
Yeah, it is. And this downtown right now is really blowing up. If you see the cranes on the side there, those are all brand new buildings going up. That building there in the center with the tall antenna, that's the new tallest building west of the Mississippi. And as you head out, if you're looking over there, that if you head out that way, you're in Palm Springs.
Oh, wow.
And then
Yeah,
and then back here on the left, you got Griffith Park. It's the second largest park in California. We've got mountain lions living in there. We've got coyotes.
Lions?
Yep, mountain lions.
You've already warned us about the snakes.
Yeah, there's lots of rattlesnakes. And, you've got a great park all around here. L.A. is a hiker's paradise, especially West Hollywood. So when you do make your way out here, be sure to get up in the morning and go out for a hike. It's especially, I highly recommend it when you're hungover.
Well, I think... I mean, we automatically feel a lot better because we've sweat out most of what we drank last night.
Yeah. It comes right out, and then you can continue on with your day and feel really good. So we're going to go have smoothies after this. We're going to do a typical West Hollywood day.
Oh, lovely.
What a great lifestyle. This is really what people do every day. They get up early and do this,
We even have, you know, they say you don't need a therapist here. You grab your friends and you go for a hike and you hash it out on a hike. Or we even have therapists in West Hollywood that take you on a hike. So instead of sitting in a therapist's office, you actually go hiking with your therapist
which is much more therapeutic, right?
It is. It's much more therapeutic.
If any of our listeners are coming to West Hollywood, can they come and get on a hike with you, or would you recommend doing it by yourself?
No, I mean, we have daily hikes that go out in the morning, early morning for the jet lag people, and then we have mid-morning, and then for the sunset. We also have bike rides. So you definitely want to go out with a guide so you get a full experience and you get the full history and you hit the places that you really need to go to.
Well, exactly. In fact,
fucked on our way up here. You were pointing out all the celebrity houses. Sure. So just explain whose houses we've walked past.
Yeah, so this morning we hiked past Drew Barrymore's house, Queen Latifah's house, Slash's house, if you remember Guns N' Roses, Patrick Dempsey's house, and also we're looking at Tony Hawk's house right now. It's the gray house.
He's the skateboarder.
He's the skateboarder, yeah, yeah.
Oh, listen, we highly recommend getting here. You know, as you said earlier on, I said to you, what's the payoff? Because obviously you were saying there's rattlesnakes and it takes quite a while to get up the side of this massive mountain. I was thinking, why are we doing this? But now that we've got here and we've looked out right across this vast land, this beautiful, beautiful morning, it is completely and utterly worth it.
Yeah, and let's not forget to point out that right behind your left shoulder, Dean, we can see the Hollywood sign.
It's beautiful.
So, and one other thing. So you have, we're going to have done 10,000 steps today. We're going to burn 1,000 calories, so you can feel really good about
it. Oh, great. One of the tacos I had last night.
That's like half of one of the burgers I had yesterday.
Thank you, Danny. If when you come to West Hollywood, which is hopefully very, very soon, please get in touch with Danny and his lovely dogs at bikeshikes.com.
Thank you, guys.
We're actually doing a bit more exercise. We're out on a bicycle tour around West Hollywood and Beverly Hills.
We couldn't be any more Californian if we tried. Yeah. We have had stunning gluten-free, what were they, chocolate...
Protein bars.
Protein... We've done it all this morning. We've hiked Runyon Canyon, and we thought it would be the best way to get around West Hollywood and Beverly Hills, but on a bike.
We're with Zach from Bikes and Hikes LA. This is a great job. You must love being out in the sun every day, taking people around the city.
I mean, the tan lines are bad, but besides that, it's like a lot of fun.
Right. Well, we started in West Hollywood, and you told me a really interesting fact about what was unique about West Hollywood out of the whole of the US during the Prohibition time.
So West Hollywood was the only city in the United States that legalized alcohol at a time when the entire nation made it illegal. So everyone around the country was flocking to this one spot, kind of giving Los Angeles its reputation that it has today.
And that's kind of why a lot of the movie stars wanted to be here, because they liked a bit of a beverage as well.
Yeah, more than anyone, I think celebrities like to get a little lit, you know what I mean?
So would you say that this is the best way to get around and see LA? Because I know a lot of people, when they come to LA, they're like, oh God, I can't drive. It's going
to
be a lot of money
it's
on Ubers because
yeah.
It's so spread out. Is bikes the way to do it?
I definitely think so. I mean, you'll see a lot of those kind of Starline cruiser bus tours, but everyone looks a little dead on those. You know, you're just listening to some guy droning on a microphone. I think biking is the best way to kind of like see the city actively. You know, you're there, you're like actually using your physical effort to get through the city.
But and not I think that, too much though,
because
we're on e-bikes.
We have e-bikes, yeah. Remember, electric bikes are the best. Always upgrade to electric bikes, yeah.
So if we did the full tour, how long would it be? What would we see?
Our full tour is about 32 miles or 50 kilometers all through Los Angeles. We go through all the different neighborhoods. We start in West Hollywood, go all the way to Venice Beach, have a little healthy wrap, you know, little vegan chicken thing, you know, or you know, we have regular chicken too, but it is LA. This is the vegan capital of the world. And then we head all the way back up to West Hollywood. So.
Well, and I'm really excited that we're actually in Beverly Hills at the moment, which was only about a 10-minute cycle ride from West Hollywood where we started. But actually what was interesting was you showed us the street where it starts and ends. So they've all got different road signs, right?
Yeah, so there's all these different little road signs. That's actually the best way to tell where you are in Los Angeles is the corner street signs. Every little city has its own unique sign. So West Hollywood's is the shape of a gun because they're wild, they're crazy over there when they legalized alcohol. Beverly Hills, you'll notice, is nice and classy, black and white. Santa Monica kind of looks like a beach scene.
Oh, okay.
Culver City's just green. Yeah.
Tell us the story about that person, that very well-known face who took full advantage of how close the proximities can be, but yet with very different laws.
Well, the border of West Hollywood and Beverly Hills is very interesting because Beverly Hills was vehemently against alcohol while West Hollywood was raging and partying. Mm-hmm. So people from Beverly Hills would always hop over the border. Marilyn Monroe got one of the houses right on the border in West Hollywood, so all of her very rich, wealthy Beverly Hills buddies can just hop over.
Well, what I loved is you said that she did live in Beverly Hills. She literally moved one block because her neighbours kept complaining that she was keeping them up partying.
Yeah, that she was being indecent back in the 50s when people were all about that. So she just had all of her friends hop over. She was like, you know what, I'm just going to move one block into West Hollywood, okay?
Because that's the party scene.
That's the way to do it. All right, so We're standing outside the Greystone Mansion right now, which some of our listeners might know from a couple of famous films, right?
Yeah, like it's the X-Men Mansion, Death Becomes Her. This is the Gilmore Girls School Chilton. It's many, many other things. The Big Lebowski house, it's a hospital in Star Trek. You ever see the first three Spider-Man movies? This is the Green Goblin's Manhattan apartment somehow. This fits in Manhattan.
Right?
Yeah, it's in many, many different movies, even like Oscar movies like There Will Be Blood to soap operas.
Right. So. And this was the first ever mansion in Beverly Hills. This is why it's all here.
Yeah, this is one of the only historically preserved buildings. Very first mansion here. Before this, it was all just lima bean farms in Beverly Hills.
What I love about the tour is just even if the houses haven't got a history or celebrity there, the houses are phenomenal. And you said they started at the end by West Hollywood at what? They start at 6 million?
About 6 million is the low end of Beverly Hills. And there's some, like, you know, it goes into the tens, a few hundred million dollar homes. It's a little ridiculous. It's like, give me one, please, right?
I love that you can't turn a corner in West Hollywood without it being directly linked to something to do with show business. It really is the showbiz capital of the world, right?
No, totally. It's that's where it all really started. Originally, it was kind of like the first Las Vegas, West Hollywood. You know, gambling, lots of celebrities flocked there. And then, you know, they really capitalized on the success of Hollywood, which was right next door to the east. So, you know, it became such a hub for celebrities throughout its whole history.
Well, on this trip, we've had plenty of house envy, but there was something always telling me that it might get a little bit more as soon as we head to Beverly Hills. So we're going to hop back on our bikes and go home shopping.
And if you come to West Hollywood, I totally recommend it. Dean's beside himself with excitement because we've already seen RuPaul's condo, haven't we?
Yes, he's got two. One for his clothes, one for him.
So make sure you check out Bikes and Hikes LA. It's the best way to see the city.
So it's Emma and Dean coming to you from a beautiful evening here in West Hollywood. It is the fourth stop on our Gaydio road trip. We've had a great week, but the fun has not even close to coming to an end.
And before we go out and have a big old party, West Hollywood style, which should probably line our stomachs. So we've come to a seafood restaurant called Connie and Ted's. And we're with the general manager, Matthew DeMarte. Hi, Matthew. This is a pretty cool place,
thank
right?
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's lovely to have you. Thank you.
So is seafood a big thing in West Hollywood?
It's a huge thing. It's a huge thing. Everyone in not only in West Hollywood, but in Los Angeles, very health conscious, very aware of where your food comes from, its source. You know, it's a bit of a joke, like our fish have names and things like that and where they come from. And we're all about that. Yeah.
I'm guessing we're a little distance from the sea. And in that L.A. traffic, it must take a while to get those shiploads of fish here. How fresh is everything?
Couldn't be fresher. Couldn't be fresher. We have the fish that comes locally from California comes in every day. And we have fish and our lobsters that come from Maine are flown in, FedExed.
What?
Overnight.
Are you serious? They're FedExed?
Yes, ma'am.
And I hear there's a bit of a story behind behind Connie and Ted's. Tell us about that.
Oh, absolutely. Connie and Ted, our executive chef, and one of the owners, Michael Cimarusti, he is the fish expert, I want to say, of Los Angeles. And his maternal grandparents are Connie and Ted.
Aww.
And he's from the East Coast. He's from New Jersey. Connie and Ted lived in Matunuck, Rhode Island. Grandma Connie is still with us. She is in Matunuck. And Chef Michael would spend his summers there in Rhode Island, and this is the food he grew up on.
And he's award-winning, is that right?
He has many awards. He's been nominated several times for James Beard Awards, and hasn't won yet, but it's imminent.
But apparently, just being nominated in that award is quite the accolade, right?
Absolutely. Once you win, you can't win again. So you can be nominated. So every year when you get nominated, it's a pretty great thing.
Can I just need to ask you a question about yourself, though, Michael?
Sure.
There's a sign above your head, just a little way behind us, which says, "Don't talk to our GM, that's you, until he's had his morning cup of beer," in brackets, seriously.
Seriously.
Do tell us more, Michael. Do tell us
and
more.
And have you had your morning cup of beer?
I've had several.
You're quite rock and roll. You're quite rock and roll for a manager, though, aren't you?
You're
loving all your tattoos.
Oh, you're very sweet. They're
you've got
they're,
a tattoo
you're so kind
of a cheese grater,
yeah.
A bottle opener,
yes, ma'am.
And then it points out what's on this side, a pineapple. And
pineapple.
I said, is that a Hoover?
Right, and it's a hair clipper.
Of course it is. So, Matthew, Emma and I are here for a few days in West Hollywood, and we're right on Santa Monica Boulevard. Now, what would two ladies do of an eve? Would we come here first? Would we have an evening meal, then hit the town? How does it work?
It's up to you. You can do both. A lot of people come in here before they go out, and a lot of times they come here before they go home, kind of thing. So you're welcome to do both.
This is a really posh version of having a kebab, isn't it? Come here afterwards for some oysters.
The poshest version that you could ever imagine, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm imagining, because of where we're located, you may have had the odd film star or celebrity walk through the doors. Who eats their oysters here?
Yeah, there's been a few. We've been fortunate where we get a few. We're a family-friendly place, so a lot of times, you know, we'll get some people coming in with their families or a little dressed down. You want names specifically? We'll start big. I would say the biggest celebrity that we've had none other than Barbara Streisand come in.
What? Okay. The whole of the UK have just lost their minds. And what did she have?
She had the New England chowder. She had fish and chips, and she had a blondie for dessert. And she eats, and we love her. She sat at that table right there. Yes.
Oh my God, we're sat at the table next to where Barbara Streisand had linguine.
No. Yeah. My friend Emma here is not a huge fan of oysters, so I thought. I know, he's lesbian.
Don't give me a dirty look, Matthew.
Sorry, it's okay.
So I thought.
Without eating an oyster. You cannot come to Connie and Ted's without eating oysters.
Matthew, I think you're the man to force me to eat an oyster. Because oysters aren't just oysters, are they? It looks like on the menu there's like about 10 different types.
Oh, yeah. Today we have 14 different oysters today. I would say on average it's around 20.
Wow.
Yes.
When you say different types, because I didn't know this, and I love an oyster. What's a different type of oyster?
Where they're located, the temperature of the water. They're all different. They all have their own characteristics, and you can definitely taste the difference between an East Coast and a West Coast oyster. We have oysters from New Zealand, so the different hemispheres. Wild oysters. And they're pretty amazing. They're really special.
How do you like your oysters? Here they come. They've just arrived on the table. A nice big tray. Wow, that's a lot of oysters, Matthew.
Beautiful.
Yes. Or something. Yeah, so we have the...
On a tray of ice there.
Yes.
With some lemon and some seaweed in the middle.
Exactly.
And a couple of dips there. What's this?
Garlic. Horseradish.
Horseradish.
And this is a mini net. Vinegar, shallots, black pepper.
Okay.
How do you like yours?
I personally, I'm a little partial to the West Coast oysters. And the deeper cup has a little bit more of the liquor in it, which I'm a big fan of. Mm-hmm. And I think they're delicious. I like them with a little bit of lemon. I mean, but the things are really different.
Okay, perfect. So, Emma, tonight's the night then. We're officially going to get you onto these oysters once and for all, okay?
Okay. What do I need to do, Matthew? Oh my God, it's a whole menu of oysters here.
Oysters, so they're all...
Baja. Does that mean it's a Mexican oyster?
Yeah.
So I'll try that.
The water's a little warmer there. It's going to have a real distinct flavor just because of that.
This one smells gorgeous. I'm going to go right in.
Go for it. And you're literally just swallowing down in one, yeah? Do you munch it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, my goodness.
Is it amazing?
That is absolutely incredible.
It arrived by 9 o'clock this morning, and it was opened probably about 5 minutes ago.
Okay, I'm going to try. Which one did you say?
Oh, the grassy bar.
And it's from California.
This one?
Yes, ma'am.
So what am I doing? Just pouring it down my throat?
I would say pop a wee bit of lemon or something
on that. Yeah. Do squeeze
some lemon
on me. Give
that a wee squeeze there. Okay, there we go. Tip it into your mouth just a little bit to let it all run down, and then just knock it back like a shot of tequila.
Okay, I'm basically just going to do that.
Okay.
I've got battery moving. What do I need to do?
You need to...
What do I need to do?
There we go. Listen up. Look at that face. Now, make sure... Don't. And give it a good swallow. Give it a good swallow. They're so good. What did you think of that, Coswell?
I haven't finished it yet.
You're not supposed to hold it in your mouth.
And just let it go. It'll go.
I want to watch how painful.
I love it.
But I swallowed it. It wasn't actually as bad as my face implied, but I think it's more the thought of it.
Listen, so when our lovely listeners come down to Connie and Ted's, do they need to pick a table in advance? Does it get busy?
I always recommend making a reservation, definitely. Even on a Monday night, you never know. You never always make a reservation. It does get a little crazy, so yes. Call or, you know, go online and make a reservation.
And you'll be here, but just don't speak to you until you've had your beer.
I have it really early, so by the time we're open, I'm good. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go.
Okay, good. I've got a very fishy taste in my mouth.
Perfect.
Mainly to cleanse my palates with champagne.
Yes. Emma and Dean with you, and I'm standing here with the largest fan ever that has a crack to die for.
You just did that without warning me, and I just jumped out of my skin. Oh my goodness me.
Emma, you're the queen of the fan, but I may have found someone who's an even bigger queen of the fan.
I know. Do you know what? I feel like I've died and gone to heaven tonight. We are eating Mexican food in West Hollywood, and I've just been listening to The Doors. Now, I know this means nothing to you, but I used to love The Doors in the 80s, and they used to be the house bands just down the road.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It is so just incredible.
There are so many little stories of all the interesting things that go on here in West Hollywood. And we're joined by two very, very special guests.
Fabulous. It is Douglas and Enoch from West Hollywood Media Company. Hi, guys.
Oh, hello, hello.
Hello.
All right. Now, you're wearing a black T-shirt with a luminous pink writing. Tell us what it is and why you're wearing it. And then we'll get on to the crime.
Okay. So I'm the officially unofficial Empress of West Hollywood, self-proclaimed, self-titled, and self everything else.
I love that you admit that.
Oh yeah, totally. I am shamelessly unashamed, and but it's a really fun aspect of just helping to support the West Hollywood community. It's been my home for almost 7 years, and I absolutely adore this city and everything that it stands for.
And obviously you get to just walk around being an absolute queen.
Oh, absolutely fabulous.
So how am I doing with the fan then, as in terms of crack? How's my crack?
Cracking.
Is the crack good? So being the Empress of WeHo and you're carrying around this fan, is there a kind of way to crack a fan?
Yeah, so you usually use your fan as an exclamation point.
Okay.
So it's a private little extra oomph to a statement. Like, if you want to go up to someone and say, oh my gosh, you look so good. Like, oh my gosh. That dress is so cute. Like, so cute.
Oh my God. I love it.
On the fan?
It says gagging.
Oh, okay.
I got it at this year's exhibition from RuPaul's Drag Con here in Southern California. It's their fourth year doing this, and it's an amazing convention they have. Over 35,000 people and growing. It is absolutely phenomenal.
He rarely gags.
And I rarely gag.
Oh, gagging.
Well, you'd know.
Yes, because you guys are a couple. What's it like being... betrothed to the Empress of WeHo?
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I always have to kneel when I walk in the room.
Yeah, I bet.
And for different reasons.
Really?
We don't want to know why.
I'm allowed to curtsy now.
Yes.
But there is a kind of serious point, isn't there, to being the Empress of WeHo? Because you've ended up doing your own sort of show on YouTube about it as well.
Yeah. So basically, I've been able to create a show from this called Holding Court with the Empress of West Hollywood. It's on our publication called GayLifeLA.com, which really is to help kind of produce information about what's going on in local media for the LGBT community here in Los Angeles. So basically, Holding Court is all about LGBT influencers and how they impact the general community for the LGBT individual. It can be anything from musician, artist. We've had pole dancers, adult entertainers, comedy people. I mean, anyone you can think of, we're there to kind of help support.
Let's talk about the publication then. I've got it in my hand. Gay Life LA. This hunk on the front cover with a neck scarf. I believe that is a navy neck scarf. I'm sure that's got a meaning somewhere.
It's somewhere, yeah. Somehow. Yeah.
Somewhere.
That's actually the guy that he's a photographer, and he made himself the cover model as well.
Oh.
So that's
lucky him. I wish I could do that.
So you guys actually run a couple of magazines.
Yeah,
just tell us a little bit about the history of them and why you set them up.
So we own the only newspaper here. It's called WeHoville. We've been around since 2012. And because of that, we spun off West Hollywood Magazine. So that's been around since 2014. And we had a tab on our website called Gay Life, and it was our most popular tab because, you know, we're a very gay city. So we spun off Gay Life LA, and it's been doing very well. So it was our initial publication at Pride last year in June, and now it's going to be quarterly now. So
quarterly. So what sort of stories and stuff do you cover?
Well, we're going to do one that's going to be the end story. It's called Bedtime Stories. It's about somebody we're going to really shoot sexy in their bed and what they read every night before they go to bed.
Oh, wow.
What sort of things are they reading? Roald Dahl?
That's what we want to know.
Enid Blyton?
That's what we want to know. Maybe, yeah. Like, you know, maybe it's about a lot of gray stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, 50 Shades of It.
50 Shades of It. We're also going to have, we're going to do Streetwalker. It's a thing about fashion in WeHo or in downtown LA. And so we just made a streetwalker, but we're going to do people on the street. We're not going to do professional models. We're actually going to do about gay businesses, gay owners, How are they making it professional? Our next one's actually going to be how to cruise coffee shops, because that's where we're meeting a lot of
Is that what people do here?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Cruising over coffee?
So we have the gayest Starbucks. It's called Gay Starbucks.
Gay Starbucks.
It's actually officially called that.
Everyone knows
it's
that.
It's unofficially official call.
Yeah. It's just as official as your title.
Like the Empress. Yes. So, and it's huge. I mean, people meet there. There's actually, you can go there and watch, and there's two guys that always go there and try to pick up different guys, and you can see them doing it. It's amazing. So,
and then there's people that go there for business meetings. Our owner goes there, Hank Scott, who's the CEO and editor for the company, goes there, and we'll have lots of people come out to him and give him stories about things that are going on in the community. Yeah.
That's where we get the
all dirt. The tea, all mm-hmm. the shade.
We are Gayberry, like Mayberry.
Yeah.
That's so interesting, actually. And I love that you're not shying away from that as well. You got to just get that news out there because it's happening.
It is.
Absolutely. Right?
And it's a big facet of our community. I mean, that's the thing. What's so great about West Hollywood, it's let your freak flag fly, have fun, do you, express you in the most unashamed ways you can, but still just, I mean, have fun doing it. And I feel our community is such a great job at embracing all of that and really kind of letting that shine through.
Fabulous. Well, stay where you are, Empress of WeHo, because we're going to find out all about the LGBT community in WeHo. Oh, hang on a minute. I feel like... Do you want to say that?
No, I just wanted to just give you her exclamation point.
We are in West Hollywood, which I only found out this week is also called WeHo.
WeHo.
And we are with Doug and Enoch from the West Hollywood Media Company. But obviously, Enoch is better known as the Empress of...
WeHo.
It's an unofficial title.
It's actually, people are called WeHoans here as locals for the West Hollywood community. Yeah.
What is it that keeps you here and keeps you loving WeHo so much?
It's such a packed community. West Hollywood itself is only 1.9 square miles, but there is so much that goes on here, from the Sunset Strip, which has so much rock and roll history, to West Hollywood Design District, which is all like interior, fashion, all different aspects of design community. There's the West Hollywood East Side, which is a very Russian-based community. A lot of Russian immigrants that moved over to here back in the day.
It's quite a remarkable sort of interesting fact, that, isn't it, that the Russians actually set up Hollywood?
Oh, yeah. They didn't hack anything either.
No, they didn't. They have been here long before.
They gave me their word.
They're a really great part of the community, and it just really brings in a whole different aspect of culture into it that we Absolutely. Really appreciate it. And then also we have the historic Boys Town for our LGBTQAI+ individuals here in the community that really just support and really have everything gay. What's kind of funny, a lot of people don't realize, West Hollywood only identifies as 36% LGBTQ+.
What do you mean only? That's way above the national average in the UK.
We're only, again, 38,000, something like something, 36, roughly 36 to 38. It kind of goes up and down through every year. But, I mean, it's, we're such a small community. Everyone expects us to be a very heavily gay, which overtly we are. It does really identify that anyone who comes here, young families that have been here for 30 plus years. I mean, West Hollywood itself is a millennial. We're only 34 years old.
Well, that's the whole point, that we're a community. We're progressive. We're creative. I mean, we try to welcome everybody. I just don't think it's really about just being a gay city. I just think it's about, like he said, making your freak flag fly.
Yeah.
And just really trying to fit in. People are obsessed when they move in their residence. We love West Hollywood. We eat, breathe, sleep West Hollywood. It's just a great place to live.
I suppose as well, for many people coming from the UK, it is so, so difficult to get your hands on a green card these days. So I think when you actually make it to Hollywood, you ain't going to leave, right?
No.
You're going to want to stay here.
You need a husband? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that would be lovely. And my boyfriend that's listening, see you later.
Does he need one too?
Yeah, that would be great, actually.
Well, there are very many couples around here that like to do polyamorous. So, I mean,
we've had a whole conversation about this. Yeah. And I think it would just be just one big WhatsApp group that I just don't have time for.
Way too many hands.
Never mind
too
that.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Right. Never mind that. Where are the hot lesbians?
Yes.
All around, actually. We have a lot of amazing DJs that are around here. I mean, Bryn Taylor, Donna, there's so many. And then with the bartenders and staff, they're an amazing group of our lesbian community. We have a huge, thriving transgender community that is very out and about, really supportive, all involved in that. And we're actually celebrating here this weekend the first ever bisexual pride. So I feel like what we're trying to do, especially in West Hollywood, is really try and let everyone live their own truth the way they wanted to do it and however that may be.
What's the scene like here? Are there lots of gay bars or lesbian bars?
Is it just cool to be gay everywhere?
Yeah, well, it's cool to be gay everywhere, but there is Boys Town. It's on Santa Monica Boulevard from La Cienega to Doheny, around there.
Yeah.
And there's like 8 to 10 gay bars. It's very popular. I mean, but there's also on the east side, there's Gold Coast, there's Foo Bar.
Yeah.
There's all kinds. You can go anywhere and be gay.
And there's like also the different parts of it where it's like you don't have to feel as an allied straight individual, you don't feel like you have to come into this community and feel out of place. You blend in very well with everyone else. I mean, especially the Abbey. As long as you dress well. We will clock you on that for sure.
People always think that when you come to LA, you have to dress a certain way. You have to look a certain way.
No.
You have to do the LA way. Is that true?
No.
I think certain clubs are absolutely like you go up on Sunset, there's Chateau Marmont. I mean, you have to dress to impress. But our gay bars are very jeans, t-shirts,
It's very much flip-flops, like flip-flops, shorts. Shorts, the long
naked.
Tank tops that are, naked, half-naked, all of it. And it's just really, it's so much of it. They want to just let everyone have
a good time.
A good time and really just come and celebrate what we're celebrating here as well.
Do you know what I love about you guys is that we've just had dinner with you and you told me where you went on holiday. Just tell us where you went and how far it is from where you actually live.
Oh, it's like 3 blocks, right? We had a staycation, or we call it gaycation.
Yeah, we have a gaycation.
There's a lot of gay stuff going on.
But it was basically like 5 minutes away from where we live.
Yeah, Le Parc.
Amazing hotel, yeah. Le Parc Hotel, a lot of people don't know, West Hollywood has almost, 13 hotels online now?
And so much great.
17, my bad.
Such great hotel pool,
rooftops, pools, so many different amenities they have with it.
But there are quite a lot of other places in America. I hate to tell you this, but, there are things called airports you can get on a plane. And I thought that you guys were going to be part of the 40% that don't have passports, but ridiculously, you have a passport, but you still go around the corner.
But there's no place better to stay than
West Hollywood. There's no place like home, eh, boys?
And if that doesn't sell West Hollywood for you, then I just don't know what will.
Be a weeho.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Brilliant.
None of them. You can stay.
But it's true. I mean, a lot of people don't realize almost 3.5 million people come to West Hollywood a year. Mm. So we are the place to be. Everyone's wanting to come here. Everyone wants to come experience the local life with the rest of us.
I think we've heard the catchphrase. That's it from now on. If you want to be a ho, be a weeho.
Yes.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, guys, so much. I appreciate it.
Me too.
Fresh day here in West Hollywood. We have spent the morning hiking up Runyon Canyon. We've been on bike tours. We visited the home of the rich and famous. And Emma and I are not just all about drag shows and tequila, are we, Emma?
Oh, no. People don't realise this about us, Dean. We're actually quite cultured.
We are.
And as we're, wandering around the beautiful streets of West Hollywood... By the way, there's a beautiful cherry blossom right behind you.
Oh, that's stunning, cherry blossom, darling.
As we're wandering through these streets of West Hollywood, we've just stumbled upon what looks like quite an interesting art gallery.
Yes.
And there's an interesting title for the exhibition they've got on at the moment. I almost ran over Liza Minnelli today.
Shall we have a pop in and see what's going on inside?
Let's have a look. It's one gallery.
Oh, very nice.
A little wander in here, shall we?
If anything else, it'll just be nice to have some aircon.
It would be really nice, wouldn't it? About 27 today in West Hollywood.
Oh, it's looking absolutely beautiful. Wow.
Can't wait to find out what this exhibition is all about. It looks quite unusual. Right. Well, luckily enough, we've got the director of the gallery, Jennifer Craig. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
We're really interested to see what you've got in here today, because there's a really intriguing title for this exhibition. Who almost ran over Liza Minnelli, and why have they done an art exhibition about it?
So, I Almost Ran Over Liza Minnelli was curated by a curator named John Davies, and it's about Colin Campbell and Lisa Steele and their time here in Venice, California in the 70s. And they're Canadian, and they were given a grant by the Canadian government to explore queer California. And
they've always been forward to thinking those Canadians, haven't they?
Have been, right?
Yes.
So we're here at the One Gallery West Hollywood, and this space is provided to us in kind by the City of West Hollywood. It's managed by the One Archives Foundation, for which I'm the executive director, and we're the independent community partner of the One Archives at the USC Libraries, which is the largest LGBTQ archive in the world.
That is quite the accolade, isn't it, Emma?
That is something else. So we haven't just stumbled upon a LGBT exhibition by accident. Everything you host diversity is always LGBT plus, yeah?
That's correct. We are one of the only LGBT galleries here in Los Angeles, and we're so proud to be in the city of West Hollywood.
It's quite a cute little spot, actually. It's floor-to-ceiling white. The floors are white, and it's quite simplistic. We've got plenty of LCD TVs around the room with earphones that you can sit down. And Andrew, tell us how important it is to have a space like this in West Hollywood.
It's very important, actually. I think the nature of an archive can be quite difficult for a lot of people to get their head around. So having a platform like the gallery here in West Hollywood is a great opportunity for us to showcase some of the more popular pieces in the archive. And it's just a really great way for people to kind of understand queer culture.
So people can go and visit the archive as well as come into the art gallery,
absolutely,
can they?
Yeah, people are welcome to come and visit the archives, do research at any time. We like to take people through tours of the collections. It's an extraordinary archive of over 3 million items documenting pretty much every aspect of queer culture.
3 million items. And what sort of things, then, are you holding in this, the world's biggest LGBT archive?
We have everything from an incredible collection of Victorian sheet music and playbills, exploring cross-dressing from the early 20th century. We have a huge film and video collection. We have over 4,000 pieces of art, ranging from grassroots artists to people like Nan Golding, Herb Ritz, Keith Haring. And then we have an extraordinary collections of photographs. We have political banners and protest signs throughout the years. Just really, really every aspect of queer culture.
And in fact, your last exhibition was quite a political one, wasn't it? So tell us what the last exhibition was.
Our last exhibition was Lost and Found, and that was an exhibition that explored 30 years of safer sex activism. Mm.
How often do you change the exhibitions, and where do you kind of get your inspiration from, Jennifer?
Our exhibitions run from 3 to 4 months, so we have anywhere from 3 to 4 annually. And we sometimes will bring exhibitions in, like the exhibition that we're viewing today, I Almost Ran Over Liza Minnelli. And at other times, we'll curate exhibitions using the collection at the archive. So Andrew mentioned Lost and Found, Safer Sex Activism, which the materials were primarily from the archives. We also had personal diaries in that exhibition, which were really moving. And then previous to that, we hosted Access Mundo, Chicano Networks in Queer Los Angeles, and that exhibition came out of the archives as well.
Wow.
So people can just rock up and just go through the archives, can't they? Because I can imagine that's mainly sort of something that academics would do, or did the tourists go and look at the archives as well?
We have people from every walk of life come to the archives to research. We have people from the entertainment industry, we have writers, we have scholars, we have artists, we have a youth ambassadors for queer history program that just started this year. So we have a cohort of high school students that are coming in and researching the archives and then creating materials that then go back to their classrooms. So really, anybody that's interested in learning about their queer history can come to the archives and explore it.
It is so important to know about your queer history because, you know, Pride festivals are all well and good. And, you know, coming to holidays in places, you know, like we visited Palm Springs, where it's massively LGBT friendly, and West Hollywood as well. But you got to know why it's LGBT friendly. Where have we came from and where are we going? And now, Andrea, I wanted to ask you, because I hear a slight English lilt in that accent. Mm. Have you got a confession for us?
I have a confession for you. I was actually born in Croydon.
Croydon! I can't imagine why you'd want to leave there and come to West Hollywood.
I can't imagine why you'd admit that on radio. Tell us what the appeal is to come and live here in West Hollywood.
I think kind of mirroring the content and the theme of this exhibition here with these queer Canadian artists, I think there's just this element of freedom. I mean, when you land in Los Angeles, the light is so different to London, the landscape is so different, the sunshine is there every day, and you just get this sense that you can be whoever you want to be. You can kind of reinvent yourself in any capacity here. Nothing is too wild, nothing's too crazy.
Yes, that's why we're liking it quite a lot, I think.
I mean, we're absolutely loving it.
All right. Obviously, we're loving the culture as well. So if other people want to come here and experience the archives or the gallery, where should they look you up?
They can look us up at onearchives.org and find all of the information about the archives, the gallery, and our foundation programs.
Can I just quickly ask how this guy nearly run over Liza Minnelli? I think we should find that out before.
And did she try and sue him?
She did not try to sue him, and I think he was quite disappointed that she did not engage with him when he almost ran her over. But we're grateful that he didn't.
And we're still waiting for her to come visit. So, oh. Liza, come in, please.
Liza, wherever you are, come visit this exhibition about a man that nearly ran you over in 1966.
Jennifer Gregg, Andrew Gill, thank you so much for chatting to you. Emma?
Yes, Dean?
Tonight is the night.
Where what happens?
We are going to another drag show.
Well, I know, we've already met the Duchess, now we're going to meet some queens.
Yes.
And do you know what? This road trip is turning into a drag show road trip, isn't it?
And that's just me and you.
Am I going to get a blow dry as well?
It's essential. It's essential. Because we know what happens when you get a blow dry. Mickey's is quite an institution as well, so there's hot men and women. Ooh. The Emmys have been here this week. Who Ooh. Knows who we might see?
First of all, though, obviously we have to line our stomachs, and what a place to go out for dinner.
Oh, yes.
West Hollywood has got such an incredible, eclectic choice of restaurants, hasn't it? We
yes.
could go Mexican, we could go seafood.
Yes.
You name it, it is here. But I tell you what, before we even started on this trip, the first thing you messaged me, you went, oh my God, Emma, they're taking us to...
Ciccone's.
Ciccone's. Yes. Why are we so excited to go there?
Because it's such a celeb hangout. It's part of the Soho House group, and you literally, when you go into places like this, you just don't know who you're going to be sitting beside. You could just sit there all day long and people watch because, you know, you just never know who's going to pop by. And it was absolutely stunning. Absolutely gorgeous. An amazing espresso martini, the best I've ever had.
Those espresso martinis, oh, they're exactly what we needed, weren't they, really?
Yes.
And we did eat some food as well, by the way.
And we've learned a very valuable lesson, which
yes.
I want you all to remember when you come to America. The portions are massive.
Yes, so there was five of us for dinner. We ordered about three mains, didn't we, and a couple of sides. So
we
I think that's about right, isn't it
is,
really?
Yeah, and we've been quite heavy on the Mexican, especially when we were in San Diego, and we've had beautiful seafood. We've had pizzas, we've had burgers, we've literally ate like queens.
We had a bit of a mixture last night, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes, last night. Ciccone's is Italian. It's a slightly different twist on your typical Italian, but you've got your pizzas and your pastas and stuff in there, and it's the perfect thing to have before a night out.
We had a lovely lobster linguine, didn't we? A goat's cheese pizza and a Tuscan salad. Oh my goodness.
Well remembered. I had so much Prosecco.
You can't remember what
you can't remember what I had.
It's Emma and Dean in South California. Our final destination has brought us to West Hollywood. We are yet again under blue skies, and I've got a cocktail in my hand.
Oh,
well, it's not a bad life, is it, really?
Let's have a little cheers, darling.
Oh.
We've had a really tough week.
We have, darling.
We really, really have.
We've I'm really sipping worked on, hard.
I'm sipping on a mimosa, and you're sipping on a fabulous wild berry martini, apparently.
It's absolutely incredible. And we've come to a real LA institution. We've come to the Abbey.
Yes, we have,
which
indeed.
I know you've been to before, haven't you?
Well, I mean, I've been here before. Whether I would actually remember what happened when I was here is another story, because they are renowned for their free pours. The more you tip, the more you flirt, the more you drink. And that's exactly what happened to us. But we sit today underneath a fabulous, massive rainbow flag, and we're going to meet with the fabulous Todd, who's going to be telling us a little bit about, well, everything about the Abbey, really, because I don't quite know where to begin.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to ask first. You've been described as the best LGBT bar in the world. What proof have you got of that?
Well, we have two awards from MTV Logo that gave us 2 years in a row straight the best gay bar in the world.
That's quite the accolade. And right. when someone says you're the best gay bar in the world, I'm sure there are ears everywhere that are going, I'm not sure about that. What do they have to offer that no one else can? But it sounds to me that this is not just a bar, is it, Todd?
No, not at all. It's really more of an institution. The city of West Hollywood is about 27 years old, and the Abbey actually grew up right when the city started itself. We started across the street as a little coffee shop, and then moved across the street over here in 1991, and then slowly grew and grew until we took over 15,000 square feet and then another 5,000 square feet at the bar next door. So right now we're 20,000 square feet.
And it's massive. It actually looks like an abbey, doesn't it?
It does, and you've expanded five times.
Correct.
Do you think that if you get too big, you might have to move somewhere else?
We can't, actually. We're kind of hemmed in here by the park and the streets. So this is basically about as far as you go. Maybe go up, but that's really the only way.
You've been open since 1991, and people keep coming back. What is it about the Abbey, you think, that really draws the crowds from all over the world, really?
Correct. I think the Abbey, because it was really built by the gay and lesbian community here. All the money they've spent on martinis over the years have built the beautiful place.
Yes.
And I think each person that comes here kind of has a little sense of ownership. Everyone feels that they have a piece of the Abbey and that it belongs to them. And I think that's mainly the biggest thing here about the Abbey as compared to any other bar or nightclub around, is that the Abbey really is the communities. It's not the owners, it's really the communities.
And in fact, you've got a poster on the table at the moment advertising your Christmas in September event, which I think just shows how much you support not just the LGBT community, but the wider community. Tell us a little bit about that.
That was David Cooley was speaking one day with one of the workers from the Children's Hospital and kind of wanting to get involved, and he said, what can we do? And he said, well, you know, we could maybe do a toy drive, because this time of year the coffers that they have for the children's gifts are pretty much empty. People normally typically donate around Christmas time, so by September there's none left. So it was how many years ago? 13 years now we've been doing it, and the support we get from the community is amazing. We fill up the whole inside with maybe 20,000-30,000 toys, and we bring them to the Children's Hospital the very next day.
I suppose as well, you know, no matter what's going on in the world, I mean, you guys have seen a massive change in the LGBT community over the years since you've been open for some 30 years.
Right.
And is it safe to say that the Abbey is the sort of gay town hall of California,
yes.
of West Hollywood?
Yeah. Anytime there's any kind of event that happens, when we had gay marriage that was legalized, it was like gay pride all over again, and I had to bring in staff all day long. It was huge.
We need backup.
I heard you even celebrated when Australia legalized gay marriage.
Yes.
You had a big Australian party.
Of course, yeah. Anytime. We support, we always come out in support of gay rights. But it's also, like you said, the community. When there was an earthquake, the Northridge earthquake, people came to the Abbey because it was one of the only places around that was open. And people come for that sense of community because they want to share collectively what everyone else is feeling.
What I like about the place as well is that obviously it's a big party vibe at night. Different times of the day you come, it'll be a different vibe. But it's really sort of family orientated in the morning. And you have a very big Father's Day event, apparently.
Oh, yeah, we have, it's the Pop Luck Club, which is, we bring in all the children and their fathers. They come in, we bring in chairs, tables, games, they have a fun time and they play and they have a great time here.
It's just wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of many gay bars in the UK that would bring games in for kids and
I can't
have a
think
big
of
Father's
any.
Day event.
I can't think of any.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm not surprised that it's the biggest in the world. The other amazing fact was the Uber fact.
Let's talk about that, because this is something actually that our listeners can this is fact, this is not opinion, this
it's
is fact.
Not fake news. Tell us your Uber fact.
So basically, it was actually both Uber and Lyft. We are the number one drop-off location in the country for bar restaurant.
So when you say the country, you're talking about the United States of America.
Correct, the whole United States.
And Uber aren't everywhere, so you're probably the most popular drop-off point for Uber in the world.
Definitely. The Abbey is really the center of West Hollywood, so when people want to come to West Hollywood, they'll typically go to all the bars, but they always start here at the Abbey and usually end up here. So whether you're starting or ending up, you end up always here.
We're with Todd Barnes, the big boss of the place. And you don't just have any old riff-raff like me and Emma stopping by of a day. You've had some incredible stars and celebrities popping by over the years. Most recently, Diana Ross. Do you want to tell us the goss?
She's amazing. Yeah, she. We got a call from, I guess, her her assistant and said, hey, I have Diana Ross who wants to come in. And obviously, we all jumped on that and said, well, yes, please, bring her in.
What do you do when that happens? Do you sort of think... Exactly, I can't imagine. let's wipe the seats.
Let's
brush up those leaves. Diana's on her way. Like, how does that work?
Well, we just make sure that everything is perfect and that we have it from beginning to the end. We have it staffed up. We have everything right. The DJ knows to make sure to play some Diana when she comes in.
I'm coming.
But even if the DJ doesn't know to play those tunes, I hear a certain Lady Gaga come in and handed him her iPod and say, play my new album.
Correct. Yeah, she had come in, I guess it was just the release of her new song, and she wanted to play it, so she gave it to the DJ, and we played it. She's amazing.
I can't cope. I literally can't cope. If Gaga walked in here, I would literally lose my mind.
I'm just going to walk up and demand my new album's played.
Yes. Excuse me, can you play our show tomorrow, if you don't mind? I've noticed that you've cleaned the table for us.
Can you just play Gaydio all day tomorrow? Can we talk about Elizabeth Taylor, though, please? What's her connection with the bar?
She started coming here a while back. I guess that was around 2005 or 6 when she started coming here. She got to know the owner, and he made a little VIP area for her, and she gave us one of her paintings, and we called it the Elizabeth Taylor Room.
She paints?
Yeah, well, no, someone painted of her.
Oh, well, obviously.
How wonderful.
But she was so, she loved it here so much. This was really the last place she was seen publicly. And there was one time over Halloween, David, the owner, likes to tell the story of how she called up and said, you know, I'd like to come in tonight. And David said to her, no, honey, I'm too sorry. We already have too many of you here tonight. We don't need another one.
All right, Todd, now, all around the world, it doesn't matter where I've been, when people speak around the table about Los Angeles and about West Hollywood, they always speak about the Abbey, but not just the bar and the great cocktails and the scenery and the atmosphere. They talk about how hot your dancers are. Where do you find them? Where are you making these people?
Well, that's
are they robots?
Right? No. Unfortunately, that's the lucky part about being in Southern California. We get people from all over the country, all over the world, coming here to try and make it big. So all these people that are these great dancers, the talent that's out there is right here in Southern California, and it's so easy to draw on them because they want to come. They're there in the daytime, and they have something to do at night to come here and dance. And it's just so easy to get so many great-looking people here.
They're so fit, Emma. I can't explain to you, men and women.
Are they all like frustrated film stars? Or?
Well, I think they're all dancers, and that's what they want to be. But yeah, I'm sure there are some frustrated ones.
I've got a frustrated radio presenter sitting to my left here.
Yeah, me.
Do you know? Are any of these women lesbian? Are they single?
Oh yeah, there's.
Can you hook them
all
up on my friend Emma?
There's lesbian, straight, gay, everything you want.
And if you're going to call yourself the best bar in the world, if I don't find my future wife here, you're going to get degraded. I'm afraid. Sorry.
No, you'll find her.
No, hold on a second. This is the same Emma who's been to a 4-day lesbian festival and didn't come back with as much as a slap and tickle, Todd. So don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. Aside from the Abbey, you know, this is a phenomenal part of California, West Hollywood. You know, describe to us what it's like living here, what it's like visiting here.
Well, it was voted the most walkable city in the country, which is pretty amazing.
You have to have long legs, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, yes, exactly. It's the concentration that you find of the people and how wonderful they are and open, and it's unlike any other place in the country. We call it Boys Town, and that's mainly because of the gay bars that are here. But the percentage of gay men and lesbians that live in the area is, I think, around 40% to 50%. And it's so wonderful to walk down the street and you can see, you know, guys holding hands, girls holding hands, kissing, and everyone feels so comfortable here. It's a wonderful place to be.
Very, very friendly, isn't it? Well, we went past some construction work, actually, and even the cladding had been covered with a history of LGBT politics. Like, you wouldn't see that in the UK.
And that's because the city council is largely made up of gay and lesbians. And they know that that's the history of this city, and it's always been that way.
Todd, listen, we don't need to tell our listeners to come here. A little birdie tells me that when they land at LAX, it's common knowledge from the taxi drivers that most people either want to go to Disneyland or the Abbey in West Hollywood. So we don't really
Disneyland.
I know. We don't need to do any plugging for you, but please do get on. If you fancy a little drool at their boys and girls behind the bar and on the stage, get onto their Instagram at the Abbey WeHo. Emma and I are going to sit back, relax, just try and throw us out. You know, if you get a little bit sick of us, if these cocktails keep coming, we keep drinking. It's Emma and Dean. We're backstage at another drag show. Emma, we need to stop doing this.
What's going on this road trip? Yesterday, Palm Springs. Tonight, West Hollywood, baby! Where are we and who are you?
We are here at the legendary Mickey's of West Hollywood at the Showgirls Drag Review, and I am Mariah Balenciaga.
Mariah Balenciaga, and I remember you from way, way back on RuPaul's Drag Race. Enlighten us.
Really? Way, way back? You had to do me like that?
But she's, you know, not that old.
But you know what? I take that with a badge of honor because seasons 1 through 3 are the veteran seasons that kind of set the pace and kind of allowed the future seasons to have the production that they have now. So I take OG drag queen from,
I'm guessing it changed your life, right?
Well, absolutely. I was I'm a hairstylist by trade, so I pretty much was like on a fast track being a celebrity hairstylist. But then drag kind of like took over a little bit, well, a lot, after Drag Race. I'm from the ballroom scene, then I'm a founding member of the House of Balenciaga.
The House of Balenciaga.
Sounds like something from Shakespearean times.
How does that compare to life in West Hollywood?
Oh, the drag scene. Oh, baby, it was a lot more intense with the balls. It was very sudden death. Honey, when you have to go up there and get your tens, it was all about, bitch, there's a panel of 5 to 7 people that either they see it or they don't. And then there's an immediate chop. There's no 5 minutes to impress a crowd. And then as soon as you impress the judges, you have to come back and battle another bitch. Process of elimination, and you immediately have to send that hoe home. That's what it's all about. When you're living a dream, when you're living your dream, it's all about just making money doing what you love, making more money doing what you love.
And then it's not a job, is it, right?
It doesn't feel like a job. I mean, I truly get paid to party.
Oh, there you go.
Sold.
I love you.
Absolutely sold.
Okay, we move on now. We're making our way around this backstage area. It is all going on, and I am going to let this queen introduce herself to y'all.
Hi, I'm the big bitch of Boys Town that wandered into this dressing room. I don't know these hoes. And my name is Silky Nutmeg Ganache.
How did you choose that name, darling?
It was chosen for me. They said, your name gonna be Silky because you mostly ghetto, but always classy. And then I watched the Food Network and got Silky Nutmeg Ganache.
I love that. I love your blue hair as well.
Let's
talk about this outfit from top to bottom. Let's talk about it.
So let me tell you about my outfit. So I got on this hair that was the least of the hottest because we after the show and I'm a big girl and I sweat a lot. And so I had my big bucking hair on, but then I had to take it off and put on this little blue bob because it's kind of cute. It's kind of cute. It's a cute enough hair where the boys would want to buy you a drink.
Yeah, yeah. And the girls, maybe.
Oh, okay.
And the fancy's drag queen, Silky.
Let's be honest, huh?
Let's be honest.
Yes, and then I got this little jumpsuit on because it just, you know, showed the right amount of booty. Mm-hmm. And then I got my flip-flop on because I'm a big girl. So if I'm not performing, I'm wearing flip-flops.
Silky, now, a little birdie tells me that you have actually auditioned to be on RuPaul's Drag Race how many times?
I auditioned 3 times. They won't let a bitch on.
They won't let a bitch on. But do you think, coming into the next season, do you feel pressure? Because you're working with all these queens that are on the show. Do you feel like when you step on the stage, when you go out into the streets, do you see a difference between the girls that have been on RuPaul's Drag Race and the girls that haven't been on RuPaul's Drag Race?
You know what? That's actually a good question. There is a bit difference, but you have to realize that there's different sectors of drag. I come from the pageantry drag where, yes, I do, baby. Yes, I do. I may not win them, but I do love and enjoy doing them.
Sorry, Trinity Cabernet is just trying to sashay away with a shot of tequila.
No.
Where are you going with that tequila?
I didn't want to cut her off. I was going to say I was going to come up and
give
come back.
Give me some of that tequila.
That's all right.
Yeah, tequila for everyone. So you are... Don't listen to those queens. So you are a pageant queen. Tell us about that.
I am a pageant queen, and I enjoy doing pageants. You know, like K. Michelle say, some girls come to shake the table. I come to break the table.
Love that, man. So, like,
We can hear a shitty voice in the background. We're going to introduce you now to an Annie Lennox lookalike.
Oh, thank you. That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me.
That's real.
You look gorgeous, darling. What's your name?
You look like Cookie Too. Hi, I'm Brooklyn Heights.
Great name.
Thank you.
What is it like performing here at Mickey's WeHo? Because a lot of our listeners will know of Mickey's if they've ever been to LA. And why should they come down on a Monday?
Mickey's is one of my favorite places to perform. It's a great crowd, always amazing energy, some iconic entertainers here all the time. Every week they have amazing people. It's incredible. I love it. It's probably my favorite place to perform in LA. Mm. Yeah.
Brooklyn Heights, where does the name come from?
My drag mother gave it to me. Her drag name is Fahrenheit. And I'm actually from Toronto, not even from Brooklyn. I've never been to Brooklyn Heights. Okay. I'm a poser, so yeah, she gave it to me.
We won't tell anyone.
Okay,
we won't tell
perfect.
Anyone. And tell us about your look, because I noticed you across the bar. You are about 7'7".
Hey, I am a delicate, dainty 6'7". Thank you so much. She is a bitch.
No, I'm not a bitch. I'm a fat bitch. There's a difference.
Did your eyebrows stay on? Did you live?
Did I live?
I know the crowd. Lives. Viewers, you can't see this, but I put lace front eyebrows on Silky tonight. I just discovered them.
You've both got lovely eyebrows.
Thank you.
I enjoy these eyebrows.
She usually does her eyebrows with a Sharpie.
I really do. Let me tell you something. You find something that works for you, no matter what Crayola box you get it out of, bitch, use it.
She's good, isn't she?
So Brooklyn Heights, after the show, where do we go? Because you look like you're about to hit the street corners.
Yes, we go to IHOP.
IHOP?
Yes.
What's going on in IHOP?
Food. International House of Pancakes.
Oh!
Yeah. Let me tell you my order. I've been ordering this as a child. I get the big steak omelet. You get some real eggs because they be putting that already pre-made shit. No, whip my eggs before you put it in my omelet. I get the hash brown on the side. I don't like hash browns. I get them to the holes at the table. That's my contribution to this world. And then I get the New York cheesecake pancakes with the strawberries, extra whipped cream, bitch, because I'm that bitch. Then I wash it all down with a glass of water because I'm on a diet.
And then a shot, and then a shot of insulin for dessert.
It's Emma and Dean for Gadia. We're off to the pancake house with five drag queens. Let's get it on. Good luck, everyone.
Emma and Dean with you on our road trip through Southern California, and we're in West Hollywood, darling.
Yes, we have indeed. I don't know how we've managed to get this far. I mean, we've literally drank morning, noon, and night.
It's not really been about the sleep this trip, has it?
No.
To be honest.
Definitely not.
And what was interesting on last night, so I've seen more drag shows in the last 3 days than I've seen in my life, I think.
And penises as well when we went to San Diego.
Yes, I've seen a lot of drag and a lot of penis on this trip. So you, Dean, said, why don't we do something different and why don't we go to a comedy show? Because we're staying at the Grafton on the Sunset Strip, and the Sunset Strip's quite interesting, isn't it?
It is, because over the last sort of, well, couple of decades, the Sunset Strip has evolved quite a lot. Lots of people would have known it for gambling before, you know, Vegas sort of captured that accolade. Mm. And then it became a real music scene. The Viper Room's just down the road. You know, there's so much history when it comes to music. But at the minute, it's all about the comedy. There are so many comedy stores here on the Sunset Strip. So we thought we would try them out, didn't we?
Yes. So we went to the comedy store, and we went to something called a roast battle.
Had you ever heard of a roast battle before?
Yeah, I have heard of it. It's kind of like what rappers do, isn't it? So it's comedians just dissing each other.
Yeah.
But they do it competitively. So they actually had judges judging who was going to win the battle of each,
yes,
like sort of slagging match, for want of a better description, really. But before that, they just had a whole raft of different comedians. I actually lost track of how many comedians I saw last night.
Yeah, I left after about the fourth one. I've got quite an interesting sense of humour, and I should have known better, but I don't really watch American sitcoms and I don't really like American stand-up comedians, so I don't know why I came up with this idea.
But you can't say that, because for example, on the way in they had photos of people like Whoopi Goldberg and Robin Williams. I mean, there are some phenomenal American comedians, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
generally speaking, we've got a very different sense of humour, haven't we,
from
our American cousins.
We do. It was a great night. I enjoyed myself, but I did have a Sauvignon Blanc around the pool at 3 p.m, so I had peaked. I was done.
You did what we like to call a backdoor boogie, darling.
I really did as well. So I'm just going to pop outside and make a phone call. And then I made a beeline across the road to the hotel.
Yeah, but what I will tell you is you only saw the first four and they did get better. And what was really nice about the comedy night was it was very quick. Like in the UK, if you go to a comedy night, the old comedians, they might get a selection, but they'll all be on for like sort of 20, 25 minutes. These guys were doing sets that were 5 minutes or less. They were really fast paced, really quick. And like it was all about the emerging artists. So the guy that checked us in and checked our ID on the way in, who was the security guard, then got up and did a 5 minute set halfway through. Yeah.
Ah,
it was really interesting. And I was surprised that we waited till about five comedians got through before we heard the T word, Trump.
Oh.
So, but I was very pleased that a few of them went there and were quite political, really, because you get the sense that, particularly in somewhere like West Hollywood, that man is not welcome.
No.
There is a lot of hatred against the Trump administration.
And what a great way to get that get that frustration out, though, isn't it? You know, with comedy, it's just, you know, it's an easy way to vent, isn't it? And we can all laugh together about those things. But that wasn't the only T word that you had last night, was it?
Do you know what? This is really interesting. So one of the battles last night, they said it was the comedy store's first ever all transgender battle.
How wonderful.
So, yeah, we had two trans women doing battle against each other. It was interesting. And then at the end, you just had to choose who was the best trans woman and who won.
Oh, brilliant.
And it was quite hard to work that one out. I think it's going to be the woman on the left. And everyone else was like, no, it's going to be the one on the right. But I was right. It was the one. Sorry, I can't remember your names, girls. I'm really sorry. I saw a lot of comedians last night. And also, after you did your backdoor boogie, you didn't realise what happened with the drink situ last night.
Go Go on.
So they had a two drink minimum, so you couldn't just order one drink, you had to have two. That's responsible.
They want you to be double parked all night.
Well, yeah, basically. So I ordered my new drink, tequila and Sprite, and instead I got two. So I was double fisting.
Is that what that's called in America?
That is actually what it's called in America. I was double fisting tequila, and then because you did a backdoor boogie, I was then double fisting your beers.
Oh, well,
sorry, that sounds really wrong.
Any wonder you're looking so fresh today. But Emma, don't worry. I know I may have left you last night and did a wee bit of a backdoor biggie, but you know me, I need my beauty sleep. But don't worry, because you know what we're going to do?
What?
We're going to get B12 injected into our bums. Stay tuned for that. We are at the very, very end of our time here in West Hollywood, but we cannot leave without... Well, sorting ourselves out, Emma, because it's been quite the couple of days, hasn't it?
Yes, I have had no sleep, really, but we have done a lot of partying. And one phrase that's gone around quite a lot is shots. Let's have some shots.
Shots, 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 shots.
Yeah. So now we're going to get some shots of a very different variety, because I don't know about you, but I've consumed a lot of tequila on this trip.
Yes, we've ate like kings and queens, and I can't say that we've done too much exercise, and there hasn't been much sleep, but we are going to have a shot of a different kind, and we're going to detox.
Yes, we're at Rehab Wellness and Spa, and I think we're about to have the most LA, the most West Hollywood experience ever. Let's speak to Garrett. Garrett, what do you do here?
Pleasure to meet you guys. So happy to have you here. So basically, we do IV infusions and vitamin injections, especially if you've had a little bit too much tequila, like you were talking about. We have a great IV infusion. It's called Rehab for Last Night's Regret. It's a big IV bag that will hydrate you and make you feel normal again. So that's one of the big things that we do here at Rehab.
You've got your work cut out today. Can I please tell you that?
Yeah, you know, I can tell. You guys look a little tired, and I want to see if I can help you out. I don't know if we're going to get to an IV today, but we're going to at least give you a vitamin injection. Some of our vitamin injections have, you know, B12, of course, which is great for energy, some B-complex. If you want to burn some fat, we've got some L-carnitine for you.
Yes, we have a lot of fat that we've accumulated over the last 10 days.
Speak for yourself. So this is much better than just taking a vitamin, right?
It is. You know, like if you were to take a vitamin, you might maybe absorb maybe 10% of that. You know, one of the best ways to get 100% absorption is through an IV. The next step down from that is a vitamin injection, which is about 70 to 80% absorption.
I've been double dropping cod liver oil tablets in desperation to make myself feel a little bit more human. So I am so ready for this today.
Has it worked? Not really.
Does it look like it's worked?
Not especially. I get the feeling that this is a very sort of West Hollywood thing to do. Is it very popular here?
It is very popular. It's definitely a West Coast thing for sure. It's funny because I'm actually from the East Coast, and going back to the East Coast, sometimes they think, what? Well, what do you want to do to me? You know?
Yeah.
Whereas the West Coast, we're a little bit more progressive. We're a little bit ahead of the game. You know, we're all about health and beauty. I mean, as you know, there's the most beautiful people here, and they care about their body and their health.
Do most people come as part of a general routine, or do people come like us when they're in dire need because they've had too much tequila?
You know what? I get both. I have some people that come religiously, you know, for two different reasons. And one of the main ones is they don't want to get sick. The other reason is, you know, if they're just wanting to burn fat and have an energy boost to kind of go that extra mile.
Mm-hmm.
So
I heard as well that this is a great thing to do when you've just stepped off the plane. So an ideal situation for our listeners would be you do this big long flight. You cannot avoid the jet lag. It's going to happen. Get up in the morning, go and do the hike, and then come here and get a bit of a boost and get you set up to detox before you retox, right?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things with an IV too, especially like, you know, when you're jet lagged and you're kind of like your time zones are all off, you know, and you're feel kind of like a zombie, you can't fall asleep. And one of the best things to do is do an IV with a high dose of magnesium. Mm. It really is great for muscle relaxation and kind of just turns off the brain.
So we could leave this place looking 10 years younger. And actually, we could potentially hit the drink when we get to the airport, Emma.
Oh, no, please.
Why not?
Don't say that.
Tequila.
I'm crying at the thought of it.
So what do we do then? Do you want me to take my clothes off?
Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to see a little bit of your bum,
okay.
And we're going to, you know, put some fluids in there.
I love that they just have no shame, Dean. You're in a room with about five people watching. You're like, yeah, let me take my clothes off.
Listen, when we were in San Diego, people got a lot more than they bargained for on the beach that day when they saw me. And
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we were both naked. So, Garrett, how did you get to this stage in your life, injecting people's backsides with vitamins?
That is a great question, because, you know, you never really know where you're going to end up. I used to be a real estate agent.
Oh, okay.
And when the market crashed, I decided to go back to school to be a nurse. And, thought I wasn't going to be, working as a salesman, but I find myself even in the medical industry working as a salesperson in a way. Yeah. Mm. But I really love what I do. So actually, you know what? We're going to have you stand up.
What?
And you can show everybody your bum.
Okay.
Okay.
Not for the first time.
So we're going to go right here, okay?
Nurse Garrett has got his plastic gloves on.
Is this the right time to tell you that I hate needles?
Yeah, it's the perfect time.
Okay, perfect.
We'll just distract.
Let's just talk about, I don't know, what we had for breakfast.
Oh. Ah! Oh, I got you.
Emma had a smoothie. Emma, ask me questions. Don't say what he's doing. Just talk to me.
Okay, it's all done.
All over.
Is that it?
I was just watching a very bright red liquid being injected into your backside.
I didn't even ask you what you injected in me. I just let you do it. What was that?
So that was the Seth. Well, actually, it's now called the double shot. It basically has an entire ml of B12. We use methylcobalamin,
okay,
which is naturally occurring in the body. It also has B complex, 6 different types of B vitamins.
Okay.
It has amino acids, 3 different types: methionine, inositol, choline. There are amino acids that help you burn fat, build lean muscle mass, help with muscle recovery.
Oh, wow, this just sounds like amazing.
That should do you well to start off. How about that?
And what about did you mention something about
We also did
antioxidant, because that's what I need.
Yeah, so we added glutathione. Glutathione is a great liver detox. It's great if you have lactic acid, if you're working out a lot and you need to get rid of that lactic acid. Actually, we have an Olympic gold medalist that comes here, and he gets glutathione IVs, high-dose glutathione IVs, and it helps with all the lactic acid. He was telling me that when he was in the Olympics that he would have a glutathione IV in the morning, and then he would train all day and then have another glutathione IV at night.
Well, I hope that is legal then for the Olympic Committee.
Yes, it's all natural vitamins.
Okay, I feel absolutely amazing.
Do you feel a difference already?
I feel a difference already. I think I might open a bottle of Prosecco.
Oh my goodness, that's my favorite actually. Yeah. So let me just tell you our website. It's rehabwellnessla.com.
Yeah, and get onto our social media at Gadoo and you can see exactly what went down. It's been a whirlwind adventure for me and Emma over the last couple of weeks. But actually, West Hollywood will, for me, always be a highlight. I don't know what it is about West Hollywood, Emma.
Yeah.
But as soon as we drove in here, right down that boulevard, when you just see the Hollywood sign on the right-hand side, and you can just feel that energy. It's laid back, but it's exciting. It's fun, and it's not boring, and there's so much to see and do. You just almost take a big, massive sigh of relief when you get to Hollywood.
Well, it's been over 30 years since I came and enjoyed the delights of the Sunset Strip, and I have to say this time I feel a lot more connected to it and I fully understand LA, because it's such a big sprawling city. It's really hard to get your head around all these different cities and different suburbs, but the fact that we just anchored ourselves in West Hollywood, I'm really pleased with, because I think I would definitely come back and stay in this neighbourhood, because this is where everything happens. This is where the Strip is, this is where Boys Town is, this is where all the best shops are, and you're literally a hop, step and a jump away from Beverly Hills as well, so I'm really glad we got to see that as well.
Yeah. And if you're the kind of person actually that likes a nice mix of beach and city, then West Hollywood is definitely the place to be, because you're equidistant between downtown LA and the beach. It takes you about 20 minutes to drive out to Santa Monica. We didn't get a chance to do that on this trip, but I highly recommend it. The beaches are stunning.
But I'm really glad we did get to do one thing, and that's go up in the hills, because that felt like a real West Hollywood and Hollywood moment, didn't it?
You just can't come to Hollywood and not do that, really.
Yeah, exactly. And can I mention one of the other highlights, which has been unexpected, and that is the amount of small dogs. If you like a small dog, come to West Hollywood. You know, I just love that. We've seen dog parks, haven't we? There's a park behind the Abbey, there's just a little dog park, and that was so cute. They were so beautiful, weren't they?
Yeah.
And we walked along the street earlier, and we went past a shop that was a doggy daycare. We just spent a good, happy couple of minutes just watching the dogs in their doggy daycare, just
what
enjoying
more do you
their
want?
Life.
Sunshine and little dogs, it is amazing. A real highlight for me in West Hollywood, in fact, is just how accepting it is. As a city, which we would call a suburb back home, or a town, you really do feel like you can just be yourself here, and I can see why so many people, when they come here on holiday, then decide to move here. It's just, there's rainbow flags absolutely everywhere. They've got gay pharmacies, they've got gay cafes, they've got gay Starbucks. Everything in West Hollywood is gay.
Yeah, I mean, and like somebody said, you know, it's quite common to see male couples or female couples just walking down the road holding hands.
Yeah,
you know,
and people, with their children as well.
Yeah, and big LGBT family groups, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, have you got a highlight from West Hollywood?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Would it be some of the oh my god, and then staying up till 2 a.m, drinking tequila with all the girls from RuPaul's Drag Race?
That
backstage.
Was quite fun. I think being backstage at Mickey's with Morgan McMichaels, G Gunn, Trinity K Bonet, Jasmine Masters, it was just absolutely hilarious to see them all in a drag, throwing shade at each other. And Emma and I had a little sneak peek at some brand new RuPaul's Drag Race girls that may or may not be coming onto your screens very, very soon.
Oh, and you got to see RuPaul's apartments as well.
Yes, both of them, the one for his clothes and the one for him.
Is that true? He's got two apartments?
He's got two apartments, yeah. He shares a block with the Osbournes.
My goodness me.
Yeah.
I tell you what, this has been such an adventure. I've been in Hollywood 48 hours, West Hollywood, and I've slept for under 8 hours in 2 days.
Girl, let's get you home and get you to bed.
But you know what? I do not regret that. You know, sleep's for later, isn't it? Yes. You're in West Hollywood, you're going to party.
You are indeed. Thank you so much for joining us on our adventures all week, and thanks for staying tuned on today's show here at West Hollywood. It has been an absolute adventure. It's been colourful, it's been fun, it's just been incredible.
More information at visitwesthollywood.com, but I think it really is time for a lie down eventually, isn't it?